We are going to talk some dogs with our next guest as we transition from the end of the NBA offseason and all the big moves to dogs are getting ready to play in just a few short weeks, and Caleb Johnson is going to be all over it for us. And Caleb, I want to start here with a little bit of Hawks news that's just dropping today. I want to get your take on this. Let's listen to a quick soundbite. Mark Spears, ESPN senior NBA reporter, was on today talking about how Trae Young feels about the lack of movement, let's call it, on a max extension.
There's a new front office in Atlanta that's trying to make decisions, but what I'm hearing now at this point, and you could tell by Trae's tweet, and I saw him during the finals, I think he's disappointed that it hasn't come. It hasn't been offered. So don't be surprised at this point that he plays this out and sees what happened next summer. But to me, Trae has nothing to prove.
Okay, Caleb Johnson, your thoughts?
Yeah, so I would say if there's anyone in the national media who would have a good line on what Trae Young thinks and would not necessarily overspeak, it is Mark Spears. Because, in fact, Trae and Mark did a bit of a panel back when the NBA Finals were going on in Oklahoma City, of course, where Trae Young is kind of somewhat from in that area. And so, I mean, after seeing the Micah Parsons tweet, you know, or the Trae's tweet about Micah Parsons in relation to, yeah, if a guy wants to stay in a place long term, you should get a deal done. That wasn't just about Micah Parsons, obviously. I think that was clearly Trae trying to say, hey, you know, he has not been shy in wanting to be in Atlanta and wanting to make this work long term. I'm sure it's just a matter of getting a number that both sides are comfortable with, because as much as it would make sense for the Hawks to not give Trae a max extension, because, well, that just is going to take up so much cap room and makes it more difficult to bring in additional players. That's what Trae, I'm sure, is going to want to. He's going to want. He's going to want the max. His agent is going to be going after the max. And I was of the opinion that, hey, based on the fact that Trae does want to be here long term, maybe this thing can work towards you don't give him the full max, but you still give him somewhat of a pay raise and enough that he's comfortable. And then De'Aaron Fox went and signed a max with the San Antonio Spurs this past week and really kind of, I think, blew up what was probably some positive negotiations that, if I have to imagine, if Trae's camp right now is going, hey, we're not talking to you on Cisella unless you are giving us the max, then there's not going to be a conversation to be had. And then, yeah, maybe there is a point in which Trae just plays this contract out and, you know, kind of sees what happens at the end of the season. So it's just it's not the biggest deal if a deal doesn't get done this offseason. It just would make things a little bit more clear for this front office. But, yeah, it's certainly been an interesting few days with you know, De'Aaron Fox getting that deal done and trying to figure out, do the Hawks just bite the bullet and go, hey, we're going to pay the guy because – we have associated ourselves with him and we want him around long term.
Okay, I'm not asking you to play pop psychologist, but I guess I am. Why would Trae Young accept anything other than the max?
I think if there is a world in which Trae accepts anything less than the max, it's because he truly believes in Ansi Salay and this front office and them putting a team around Trae to be a contender. Now, I would think the only way that happens is if the Hawks go on a really impressive run, you know, this upcoming season, and they get deep into the playoffs, and then they go, hey, Trae, if you'll just take a little bit less, we can put a better team around you and we can make things work. I don't think right now that Trey would want to take anything less than the max, because if we're honest, it hasn't been until literally this past off season that the Hawks have done things that make you strongly believe, oh, okay, this is a true team that makes sense and fits with Trey's skill sets in order to have the best success. Most of the time it's been, well, that's a move that I could see working out, and that's a move that I don't really get that one, but maybe it'll all work out, and then we've seen how this all has sort of played out. I also, there is this factor, Chris, to take into account, because this has certainly played a part in times past, which is Tony Ressler is not just an owner who stands by and lets the people who are in charge make the decisions. Now, he will come out and say that publicly, but we know pretty much for a fact that in times past, especially following their run to the Eastern Conference Finals, that there were deals being worked on that Tony came in and said, get it done. I don't care what it takes, get it done. And so that meant that the Hawks overpaid for certain players, and then things didn't work out. And now you found yourself in a really sort of interesting situation where the Hawks traded John Collins to the Jazz essentially as a salary dump, and have since, there have been pieces that have gone in place that include the Hawks trading George Niang to Boston, who now George Niang today got traded to Utah as a part of the Utah Jazz John Collins trade exception. So it kind of feels a bit circular that it's kind of gone all the way around from those times. But yeah, that's certainly one of those things that I don't know if you gave Trey the max that you'd be looking at it 3 years down the road as, man, the Hawks really overpaid Trey. I think it's just a matter of roster construction, if you're staying under the cap as the Hawks have been doing, that in order to, you know, avoid these tax aprons that can pop up on you, especially if you decide to start spending some more money, that you just want to keep his number as low as you can possibly get him.
Talking all things Hawks and dogs with Caleb Johnson here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Make sure you give him a follow at ATL Johnson 18. How much of the last couple of years of lack of success for the Hawks do you think is playing into this?
You know, I think that's certainly a part of it, I would say, for ownership, and then for a guy like Trey, because he has been here. I think the interesting part of this whole, you know, kind of puzzle piece that's getting put together is Auncey, is the fact that, I mean, the guy hasn't been on the job but a few months, and he is already being looked at amongst the league as one of the better GMs just because of the moves that he's been able to pull off so far. It makes me think of kind of how Alex Anthopoulos came in with the Braves when he started doing things that caught everybody a little bit off guard, and then you still felt like, well, I'm getting a good deal. And then, you know, other GMs are looking at it months later going like, wow, I really got fleeced there. That I think it kind of reached a point where Alex has had a little bit of a tougher time pulling off deals, because I do think teams are like, if Alex has taken a look at him, maybe we should take a second look. I'm wondering if we kind of get to that point with Auncey. But I think he's the one part of this whole puzzle piece that's really kind of caused this thing to go in a more positive direction, where I do think if there is someone who can convince Trey of doing something best for the team, it would be Auncey. And it's based on how he has just treated this particular offseason. I still think it's going to take more than just this offseason, but certainly on paper, this team looks like it could be really competitive. And now we get to wait and see. Is this another season of you know, kind of disappointment where injuries play a part? Because certainly I think that would be a part of it for Trey, too, of him wanting to stick around. You know, if Jalen Johnson runs into a big injury, it's like, okay, maybe it's time to do something different. Or you know, if it's someone else, you know, if the Kristaps thing doesn't work out and he's only able to play 40 games, then I think, you know, the kind of the calculus changes and you evaluate what you want to do a little bit differently. So that's why I've been this offseason thinking that a deal doesn't end up getting done, but I would love to be pleasantly surprised.
All right, we got our first coaches poll out, the most recent one for this season, Caleb, and UGA comes in at number 4. Too high, too low, just right.
You know, it's interesting. So I guess as much as I've paid attention, I hadn't seen the coaches poll. Who are the three teams above Georgia right now? Because that doesn't sound too crazy, but I guess I need to be reminded of the teams.
Yeah, Texas is number 1, Ohio State
okay.
is 2, and Penn State's number 3.
All right, I mean, Penn State, how cute. Like, haven't we been doing this for a while now where, you know, no shot at our boss Mike Conti, but his Nittany Lions has certainly been a team that I think the expectations are constantly there, and you know, you talk about a team good on much better on paper than they are when it's actually things are played out, especially in high pressure games. But for a preseason poll, I'm fine with it. I mean, certainly you have to tip your cap to Ohio State. They're the national champions and they took it pretty, like there was no doubt in my mind when I watched that national championship at Mercedes-Benz Stadium that Ohio State was anything other than the best team in the country. And so for them to take that, I think certainly the hype around Texas because of how competitive they were last year, and the simple fact is people believe very strongly in Arch Manning, whether that's right or wrong, and they don't believe very strongly in Gunnar Stockton. Now, is that because one has a more well-known last name? Probably, because I think the question marks should be just as strong around Arch Manning as they should be around Gunnar Stockton. You've got two guys who are unproven, who didn't get a lot of playing time, and when they did get playing time, I think it was a bit incomplete and inconsistent. And so certainly because Arch has the last name Manning, he's going to get a lot of credit for things that he has not accomplished yet. But the skill set is certainly there. I think, you know, kind of with that being the case, I'm fine with Ohio State and Texas being up there. I would probably put Georgia at number 3, but I think a lot of their roster right now is a bit unproven, especially their defensive line. Like I was talking on a podcast recently about the fact that Christian Miller has got to be a guy who steps up and takes the place of guys who have been before him. Your Jalen Carter, your Jordan Davis, your Nazir Stackhouses, like those types of guys. I think Christian Miller's has got to be the next one in that line to step up. And otherwise people are asking a lot of questions about who Georgia can be. You're giving them credit a lot, really, because of Kirby and because of what you've seen in the past. But certainly, you know, they don't have the toughest test right out of the gate. This is kind of a good warm-up for them getting Marshall week 1.
All right, Caleb, we'll be switching our coverage full-time to UGA. I was planning on doing it tonight, but then this news about Trey and the contract just dropped from Mark Spears. So I was like, oh, well, perfect. We're having Caleb on anyway. So we'll see what happens with the contract for Trey, but we'll be talking dogs, and I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, man, I'm excited. The weather, I know we're getting false fall right now, but I am ready for fall. I'm ready for football. I'm ready to get this going.
Yeah, me too. All right, my friend, we'll talk next week.
All right, have a good one.
All right, that is Caleb Johnson there. Yeah, like, I guess what it ultimately comes down to, Do the Falcons trust Trae Young as the face of the fan, or the Hawks, the Falcons? Do the Hawks trust Trae Young as the face of the franchise? I got such a weird, I was like, oh, wait, what did I say? And that's the debate we've been having for the longest time now, right? Interesting. Okay. All right, when we get back, speaking of college ball, let's do five college football true and false questions with Oren. Got a busy 7 o'clock hour coming up. Braves and Brewers are getting underway. I guess I'll keep you posted on that. Yay! It is Chris Thomas tonight, Turtle, with you till 10.